you aware of a few things. Next Wednesday, we're going to have a special guest by the name of Marilyn Neubauer. Some of you have probably not seen her. We just met her recently, and she's originally from California, but she'll be with us next Wednesday for a good teaching. And I'd encourage you to come, bring a friend. So that's going to go on. And this Friday, we felt like we have an urgent call to prayer. And basically, we just want to pray for people to overcome and be established in victory. I just think that the enemy's, you know, trying to do some things, and we're not going to give them a place. So we're going to come together and we're going to pray. I know if you can make it, come. It's going to be from 6:30 to 7:30 this Friday. We're just going to get together and pray. And especially if you're going through some things, it'd be a good time to pray. It just allows God to do something. And there's a corporate anointing when we come together and pray. So we're just making an urgent call this Friday to pray. So, and also too, I just want to pray over our tithes and offerings. Anytime during the service, you can give your tithes and offerings in the back there. There are envelopes there. If you make a check out, just make it out to BCF. So Father, we just give you thanks and praise for the privilege and the joy to give into your kingdom. Father, you gave us the greatest gift of all, your son Jesus. And Lord, we give back what is yours. We give our tithes, and over and above our tithes, Father, we give our offerings. May the gift and the giver be blessed by your hand. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Glad you're here tonight. Amen. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 16. Hallelujah. And we started a series 2 weeks ago. Last week we had a guest. And this next Wednesday we'll have a guest, but we're going to continue this series. It's called Keys of the Kingdom. How many know what a key does? It opens doors. A key is a means of access, control, or possession. All right? If you give someone a key to their house and you're not home and they come into your house, you can't call the police on them. Why? Because you gave them a key. You gave him an access, right? And in Matthew chapter 16, verse 19, this was after the revelation that Peter got that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of God. And the Lord told him this, said in verse 19, he said, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth, or whatever you bind, that is, declare to be improper and unlawful on the earth, must be already bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth or declare lawful must be what is already loosed in heaven. And so God's given us some keys, the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And these keys are means of opening doors, all right? They can also close doors where you don't want the enemy to get in, right? Say, lock the devil out. Yeah, if we want to have a lockout just on the devil and his kingdom and the kingdom of darkness. But we want to open the keys. And there's just a few places in the Bible where it talks about keys. There's a keys to the abyss, all right? There, Jesus took the keys to death, hell, and the grave, all right? So he opens the way, and he has the authority in those things. But the Lord was just showing me that there are some different keys that we have access to that will open doors for us. And these are in no particular order, but go with me to Mark 11, 24. Mark 11, 24. And the Bible says, you know, saying is a key. Everybody say saying. You know, the things that we say can open or close doors, right? All right, let's read Mark 11, 24. Let's go back to 23, and I'm reading from the Amplified. It says, "Truly, I tell you, whoever says," everybody say says. Notice he said whoever says. Didn't say that you had to be a particular person, but whoever says to what? To this mountain. Well, what's going to happen when you say something to the mountain? What do you say? Be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in all of his heart, but believes that what he says, say that what he says, will take place, it will be done for him. Now, if there's a mountain in your way, and you speak to that mountain and command it to be removed, and the mountain gets removed, isn't that opening a passageway? It's removing an obstacle. So saying is a key. What you say matters. What did David and Goliath do before they actually got into combat? They said words to each other, didn't they? Goliath was upset that they sent a boy with a stick out to face him. And David said, you know, I have the name of the Lord. I come at you with the name of the Lord. And David won the battle of the words. What happened? That giant fell. Well, see, so saying the right thing is important. I looked up the word saying. It means to lay forth, to relate in words. It's an expression or speech. It means to break silence. How many know that in exercising authority, you've got to break silence? Amen? What if Jesus just would have showed up to the tomb of Lazarus and just... You think anything would have happened if he just would have said nothing? No? But he specifically said, Lazarus, come forth. What happened? The tomb was unlocked. See, he has the key to death, hell, and the grave. And so when he spoke, he opened the way to life. The man had been dead for 4 days, and Lazarus came out just by what Jesus said. Powerful. Saying is a key. What did the Israelites get? When the Israelites were about to go into the promised land, and they were saying, "You just brought us out here to die?" What happened to everyone who said, "You brought us out here to die?" They died. That opened the door to death. What happened to Joshua and Caleb that said, "Let us go in and take the land. We are well able to take the land." What happened? The door was open for them to go into the promised land. Saying is important. How do you get saved? Call upon the Lord. Confess with your mouth, believe with your heart that Jesus is Lord, and you shall be saved. Your words open the door to salvation, the greatest gift. All right? Go with me to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. How do you know which key to use for what lock? The Holy Spirit will show you what key to use for what lock. You don't have to think, okay, what key am I supposed to use now? The Holy Spirit will show you at that moment. All right? Acts chapter 4. And let's go to verse 29. They had been beaten, and now they came back to their own company, and they were telling this, and they began to pray. And they said, "Now, Lord, observe their threats and grant your bondservants full freedom to declare your message fearlessly." How many know that we need to declare God's message fearlessly or with boldness, right? To be bold means without fear. And while you stretch out your hand to cure and to perform signs and wonders through the authority and by the power of the name of your holy child and servant Jesus. Okay? When they had prayed, the place in which they were assembled was shaken. Now you know that God's doing something when the building shakes. I've not ever been in a shaking building. My body has shaken under the power of God, but never in a building. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Now notice the last part of verse 31. They continued to speak the word of God with freedom and boldness and courage. Isn't that what they just prayed? Did God open the door for them to be bold? Yes. What happened? Verse 32. Now the company of believers was of one heart, one soul. Not one of them claimed that anything which he possessed was his own, but everything they had was in common for the use of all. And with great strength and great ability and power, the apostles delivered their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace, loving kindness and favor and goodwill rested richly upon them all. And they went out and they did great signs and wonders and miracles, exactly what they prayed. So that tells me that what they said opened the door to miracles. Now, if you said, God, if you can do anything, do it. You know, when you talk like that, you're going to have doors closed. You gotta know your God, amen? Know what he can do. They didn't hold back in what they said. So saying is a key that opens the door. Go to Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. And look at verse 23. Mark 9:23. The Bible says, "And Jesus said, if you can do anything, why all things can be, are possible to him who what?" Do you realize that believing is a key? Believing unlocks the door to possibility. When you believe in God, nothing is impossible to you. You have the door opened to possibilities. All right? So what does it mean to believe? It means to have faith in, upon, or with respect to. It means to entrust. It means to be persuaded. I mean, what does it take for you to be persuaded of something? What kind of evidence do you need to be convinced, persuaded, something that you can trust even if when you don't see it? See, that's what faith is. Faith is the ability to believe things that you can't see. And your belief actually brings them into the scene from the unseen. Believing is a key. Where does faith come from? Hearing? And hearing what? Okay? So maybe you need to hear more word or more evidence to be fully persuaded in what you believe. How many believe God is a provider? Amen. All right? No, I'm not going to go that way. Go with me to 2 Chronicles 20:20. Second Chronicles 20:20. This is the story of Jehoshaphat. And notice what they said. He was about to face three enemies. And they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God." Okay? So what will your belief unlock? He says, believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe and remain steadfast to his prophets, and you will prosper. So believe in God, and you'll be established. Believe his prophets, and you'll prosper. So believing unlocks the door to being firmly established and to prospering. When you believe, who do you believe in? God. You believe in God. Yes, your circumstances say one thing. Your circumstances are real. Okay? You're actually experiencing your circumstances. But there is God that you can believe in, and he's higher than your circumstances. So he actually elevates you out of your circumstances. When you believe in him, your current circumstance that you're in can change. All you've got to do is believe in him, and you'll be established. What does it mean to be established? Immovable, fixed, steadfast, firm, grounded. The storms can come, but they're not going to blow the house down. The big bad wolf can blow and blow, but you're in faith is like the brick house the little piggy built. The big bad wolf will huff and puff, but he can't blow the house down because you're fixed, you're established, you're firmly planted in the Lord, in the Word. Your believing is a key. What you believe is a key. Go with me to Matthew chapter 17. And this guy had a demon-possessed son. And look at verse 14. When they approached the multitude, a man came up to him, kneeling before him and saying, Lord, do pity and have mercy on my son, for he has epilepsy and suffers terribly, for frequently he falls into the fire and many times into the water. And I brought him to your disciples, and they were not able to cure him. Previously, the disciples were arguing about who was the greatest. So they were having a little discussion on which one of the disciples, I'm greater than you. No, I'm greater than you. Okay? When you're discussing who's greater than who, you're not going to be in the Spirit. All right? Okay? So they were not able to cast him out. Verse 17. And Jesus answered, O you unbelieving. Amplified says, warped, wayward, and rebellious. Perverse generation. How long am I to remain with you? Do you remember when the disciples were in the storm on the boat? Storm rose up. Jesus said, we're going to the other side. And the storm rose up and Jesus was asleep. And the disciples had to wake Jesus up and said, are you going to let us die? And Jesus said, how long shall I be with you? When are we going to get to the point where we don't depend on someone else to believe for us? Huh? You've got the same ability to believe God as anybody else. Just because a minister has to believe God the same way, because we're just people just like you. I've got to believe God the same way that you got to believe God. I can't believe God for you. Jesus said, bring him here to me. Jesus rebuked the demon and it came out of him, and the boy was cured instantly. Why? Because Jesus was a believer. He developed his belief, he strengthened his belief, and he lived his life by what he believed. Then the disciples came to Jesus and asked privately, why could we not drive it out? He said to them, because the littleness of your faith. Wow. He kind of rebuked them, didn't he? How does your faith get big? Eating right and exercise. You know, you'll have greater success if you believe God to heal you of a headache than try to believe him of cancer. Start believing him in little things. Then your faith will get stronger and stronger for bigger things. Okay? So it was because of the littleness of your faith. So our believing opens the door. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. The Bible says you must believe. What do you must believe? That he is, that God exists, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So here's the thing. If you believe that God rewards those who diligently seek him, and you set your face to diligently seek him, you can expect a reward. What's God going to give you? I have no idea. Seek him and find out. When you set your face, remember the prophet came to Hezekiah and said, your life is going to get your house in order. It's time to die. What did he do? He set his face like flint. What does that mean? He got really focused. He put aside the natural things that he was dealing with, and he just gave focus to the Lord. What happened? The Lord rewarded him with 15 more years. See, when you get really serious about seeking God, that shows that you really believe. When you don't let circumstances of life shake you. People were asking me how Gabriel was in our incident in Ohio. I said, he was fine. He wasn't, you know, he shared with me, he said he was a little scared, but you know what? We immediately turned to the Lord. We took a bad situation and we immediately turned to the Lord. See, that's the difference. We prayed and we saw God do his thing. I was in the middle of nowhere. Norwalk, Ohio. For some of you who don't know, we got into an accident coming back from Canada this weekend. But do you know what? The Lord protected us and he provided. Why? Because I believe in the Lord. I believe him to work out things that happen in life that I can't control. Okay, go with me to Hebrews chapter 4. So your saying is a key. Your believing is a key. These are keys to the kingdom. These keys help you operate in the kingdom on earth. These are principles that we can live by. These are truths that we can walk in. See, that's what it means. The keys of the kingdom are realities of the kingdom. It's how the kingdom works. They're access points. They give you access into the things of the kingdom. How many know that joy is a result of the kingdom of God coming to earth? Amen? The joy of the Lord is your strength. Peace. He is the what? The Prince of Peace. Love. God is love. All right? Let me give you some keys, and then I'm going to continue talking about them, okay? So that you have the keys, and as we get into them, you'll know what's coming up, okay? Hearing mixed with faith is a key. Hearing mixed with faith is a key. The Holy Ghost is a key. What does he do? He brings you into all truth. The Holy Ghost is a key. Favor is a key. Esther, Joseph, Daniel all had favor. It gave them access into things, to authority, to positions, to power. Humility is a key. With humility comes riches, honor, riches in life. Humility is a key. All right? When you humble yourself, God will exalt you. It's a key. Obedience is a key. All right? Why? Because disobedience denies access. Obedience then is a key. His blood is a key. We are overcomers by the blood of the Lamb. His blood gives us access into his throne room. His blood is a key. All right? His name is a key. There's no other name under heaven and earth whereby men can be saved. His name is a key. Love is a key. Your faith won't work if you don't have love. Your love is a key to your faith working. Tithing and giving is a key. Honor is a key. Who you honor is what will be attracted to you. And then praise is a key. Paul and Silas, what did they do? They praised, and all the prison and the chains were opened. That was definitely a key. Okay? So these are some keys that the Lord showed me. Hebrews chapter 4. And verse 1. Therefore, while the promise of entering his rest still holds and is offered today, let us not distrust it, lest any of you should think that he has come too late and has come short of reaching it. For indeed, we have had the glad tidings of God proclaimed to us, just as truly as the Israelites of old did when the good news of deliverance from bondage came to them, but the message they heard did not benefit them. Why? Because it was not mixed with faith. That is, with the leaning of the entire personality on God, in absolute trust and confidence in his power, wisdom and goodness by those who heard it. Neither were they united in faith with Joshua and Caleb, the ones who did believe. So how you mix faith with what you hear will determine whether or not doors will be unlocked, actually doors to enter into his rest. Did you know that when you're in faith, you're not worried about something? When you're in faith, you're not going, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? Oh my gosh, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? What's going to happen? Uh-uh. When you're in faith, you're a cool cucumber. You are at rest. You are at peace. You're not worried. You're not concerned because faith sees what you cannot see. Faith knows what you don't know. Faith sees beyond the natural realm. Martha and Mary were telling Jesus, you should have come a few days ago. And Jesus was telling Mary, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. It doesn't matter when I show up. Because when I show up, resurrection and life happens. So time is not an issue. But you've got to know that he's the resurrection and the life. What happened? He said, I know that he'll live when you get resurrected at the end. He says, no, I am right now the resurrection and the life. So was Jesus nervous? Oh my gosh, I'm 4 days late. What am I going to do? No. He even on purpose waited a few extra days. He walked up to that tomb. His thought was not, gee, I hope this is going to work. I'll try this. If you hope it's going to work and you try this, don't try it because you're not fully convinced. What did he do? Was there anybody else around the tomb of Lazarus? Or was it just Jesus by himself? No, there was other people. And what did Jesus do? Lazarus, come forth. No. He said, Lazarus, come forth. What happened? He walked out of the tomb. But see, was Jesus nervous about people trying to kill him? There were several times when people would try to come and kill Jesus before he laid down his life. Was he nervous? No. What did he do? He just simply walked away. That's someone at rest. And in order to get into the rest, you've got to mix what you hear with faith. You've got to take the message that you hear, and you've got to mix it with what you believe, with your faith about it, in order to make it active for you. How do you mix something with faith? You act on what he said. You do what he said. How did the woman with the issue of blood mix faith with what she heard? She struggled with her issue for how many years? 12, right? But when she heard of Jesus, she heard the message of how he healed people. Now she mixed her faith by going in, making her way through the crowd, and touching the hem of his garment. That's how you mix faith with what you hear. You act on what you hear. You do what you hear. When you're tempted, when God tells you to give and your flesh says, oh, don't do that, you've got to be at rest knowing that when you give, you're acting on his word, and that's when you're going to mix faith with what you hear. That's when the blessing, that's where the power is. Go back to chapter 3. See, in other words, some people don't take the message to heart that they hear. And that's why some people excel more than others. Because those who excel really take the message to their heart. They really get it in their heart. They really receive it as of the Word of God. Okay? They trust in what God said about it, therefore they rest. It's no longer an issue. They don't have to argue with their senses or their feelings or their flesh as to why they believe what they believe. All right? Hebrews 3:18. Well, let's back up a little bit. Verse 15. Then while it is still called today, if you would hear his voice, and when you hear it, do not harden your heart. Oh, that's a key right there. Some people hear a message and they say, I don't like what he said. I don't believe what he said. I don't agree with what he said. Right now, they've just established resistance to the word. I know that. Really. No matter how many times you hear something, never say that you know that. Just say, okay. We're working on Gabriel with that. You know, we tell him something, he goes, yeah, I know. We say, Gabriel, a better response would just be, okay. So he does that once in a while. You know, sometimes we got to correct him on it. That you do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion in the desert when the people provoked and irritated and embittered God. Don't provoke. Resistance provokes God. When God was trying to tell Moses what God created him to do, and Moses was telling God why he can't do what God said he could do, was God happy or did God get irritated? Huh? Come on. Help me out. He got irritated. And because he answered every excuse that Moses gave. Verse 16, for who were they that heard and yet were rebellious? They heard the same message, but some accepted it, some rejected it, and provoked him. Was it not all those who came out of Egypt led by Moses? How'd you like to be Joshua and Caleb? 2 plus Moses is 3 versus about 1.5 to 2 million people. How'd you like to be Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? You're the only people standing up in the auditorium and everybody else is bowing down to the statue. And the king says, come here. How'd you like to be those three? See, 3 of them refused to bow. The rest of the people were bowing. See, the world likes to apply peer pressure to us, because the world wants to get you to conform to its image, which is darkness. It's a lie. It's a facade. But we have to be fashioned after Christ. All right? Verse 17. And with whom was he irritated and provoked and grieved for 40 years? 40 years! They resisted God. They did not mix faith. They saw the miracles. They walked through the Red Sea. They ate manna from heaven. They got water out of a rock. They saw, but yet they did not believe. Even though they saw all these things, they never mixed faith with what they heard. Therefore, they did not enter into rest. So, hearing mixed with faith is a key into the blessings of God. You have got to mix faith with what you hear in order for it, the message, to benefit you. You can't sit like this. Go ahead, make my day. Verse 18. And to whom did he swear that they should not enter into his rest, but those who disobeyed, who had not listened to his word, who refused to be compliant or be persuaded? Isn't that amazing? They saw all these good things and refused to be persuaded. They never, because one day they'd see a miracle and they'd be all like, yeah, yeah, yeah. The next day they'd complain why they don't have this or that or the other. So do you see how that's a key? It's an important key. Hardening prevents your heart from proper hearing. Hardening of your heart prevents proper hearing. And really, it all has to do with pride. No matter what God says, you're going to do what you're going to do. That's pride. That's what Pharaoh did. You know, he's the poster child. The hardened heart champion of the year, Pharaoh of Egypt. He's the poster child. And it's all about how you respond to his voice. How submissive are you to his voice? How responsive are to you his voice? How willing and are you to obey his voice? That's the key. When God whispers something in your ear, do this. I want you to go ahead and do this. God wants me to do this. Now you have an opportunity. What are you going to do? All right? God may tell you something that you don't necessarily want to do. Ananias, go lay hands on Paul. Wait a minute, God, wasn't he a persecutor? Are you sure it's safe? Aren't you glad that he went? It's a little thing that God asked him to do, but yet he did it. And what happened? Paul got filled with the Holy Ghost, and he got started on his purpose in life because of Ananias obeyed the Lord. Now, I'm sure Ananias didn't feel like going, but in spite of his reservations, he went anyway. That's what it means to mix faith. Do it anyway. All right? Okay. Go to John chapter 16. Maybe have time for one more. John chapter 16. God's given you a key in the form of a person called the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 13. But when he, the Spirit of truth, or the truth-giving Spirit, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. All right? The whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God. For he will not speak his own message on his own authority, but he will tell whatever he hears from the Father. He will give the message that has been given to him, and he will announce and declare to you the things that are to come, that will happen in the future. So the Holy Ghost is the key to truth, and he's the key to your future. As many as are led by who? By the Holy Spirit. They are the sons of God. You've got to allow the Holy Spirit to lead and guide you daily. Through life, through relationships. Did you know that the Holy Spirit will guide you into a good attitude? When we do or say something that we shouldn't do or say, you know, the Holy Spirit, he's pretty cool. He'll say, you know, you shouldn't have said that. You're like, you know, you have a choice then. You know, you're right. Or you could say, well, I'm going to say what I want to say. How much more truth do you think you're going to get into with that kind of attitude? See, Jesus said that he will bring you into all truth. Bringing into truth, isn't that access? How many want more truth? Amen? I want to continue to grow in my knowledge of the truth. And you cannot do that without the Holy Spirit. You need his power. You need his wisdom. He's the Spirit of wisdom. Amen? I'll tell you what, he's like the master key that opens all doors. Because he was at the creation of the world, he was hovering over the waters, wasn't he? He was just waiting for the command of God. So the Holy Ghost is a key. And it's a key into all truth. Go to John chapter 14. Just a couple chapters over. Verse 16. Jesus said, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter." When he says another, he means someone just like me, of the same nature, of the same substance. Counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, standby, that he may remain with you forever. Say forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. So when we're acting worldly, we're not being led by the Spirit. And you know what? It doesn't take any hard work to act worldly. It comes very easy to our fleshly nature, doesn't it? Your flesh wants to react. Your flesh wants to do whatever. And it's through the Holy Spirit that we can crucify the flesh. Amen? If my son was here, I'd use this hockey analogy. The Spirit will body check our flesh and keep it in line. You know, if you're familiar with hockey. But see, the Holy Ghost is such a wonderful key. Go with me to 2 Corinthians, or 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And go to verse 10. It talks about, yet to us God has unveiled and revealed them. Or the things that God has prepared for us. They're revealed to us by the Holy Spirit. You'll never get to where you need to be if you don't follow the Holy Spirit. He's the one that brings you into all that's you, all that God has for you, the good works. He knows your design. He knows your innermost being. He searches the deep things of God. And he reveals what is ours through his Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit searches diligently, exploring and examining everything. The divine counsels and things hidden and beyond man's scrutiny. And thank God for the Holy Spirit. He's the means of revelation that God shows us. He's the means of understanding. If you don't understand the word, ask the Holy Spirit. He'll teach you. He is the greatest teacher of all. God's given you your very own personal mentor to be with you. That's awesome. That's how much God thinks of you. He doesn't want you to be left out of anything. He wants you to enjoy every blessing, every benefit, every good thing, every good work. He wants you to get involved in every good work that you were designed to get involved in. The Holy Spirit. He is a wonderful key to the truth. He'll always lead you in line with the Word. He's really the author of the Word. Holy men were inspired by God. God breathed on them. That was the Holy Spirit. So he's a master key. He is a definite key to the kingdom. He opens the door to all truth. He knows what's right and what's not. When something's not right, he'll let you know. Something on the inside. You know, like when a dog needs to go outside, sometimes they scratch the door, right? Well, when something's not right, he'll scratch on the inside. He bears witness with your spirit that you're the sons of God, the daughters of God. He shows you that you belong to God. He shows you what God has planned for you. Jesus said, I could do nothing of myself. He was anointed with the Holy Spirit. How does he do it? The Holy Spirit teaches. He guides. He leads. He shows you things to come. He'll show you things to come. And being able to follow him is a key. It's an important key. How did the Gentiles get the power of the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Because the Holy Spirit brought Cornelius and Peter together. He was speaking to Cornelius at the same time he was speaking to Peter, and he brought them together, and that was the first time that Gentiles were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke with tongues. Why? Because Cornelius he didn't know what he needed. He didn't know the more truth that God wanted him to have, so God sent the Holy Spirit to lead and guide him to get the right information because Cornelius was receptive. He welcomed. You know, he had to go find Peter. But the Holy Spirit told him exactly where to look. And so that was his adding faith to what he heard. You know, when God said, I want you to go to find Peter, he could have just said, well, Peter's going to come. No, sometimes you got to go after it. What did he do? He sent his servants. While Peter's meditating on his vision, the Holy Ghost said, there are two guys at your door. Go with them, asking nothing. Okay. Peter could have said, oh, this is strange. No, what Peter did, he got down from the roof, and what happened? He went with them. Peter didn't even know why he was going. He started to preach the gospel, and the Holy Ghost just fell. Imagine that, the Holy Ghost just interrupting the sermon. I say, interrupt, Holy Ghost, anytime you want, interrupt. That's a good interruption. Because everybody in Cornelius' house, everybody that he got at the service was filled with the Holy Ghost. And the Jews that were with Peter said, you know what, they speak in tongues just like we did on the day of Pentecost. See, and that's how the Holy Spirit works. He's such a wonderful key. Why don't you stand up? I want you to make a commitment in your heart that you're going to implement and use these keys in your life. You're going to say, when things are not working like they should, maybe there's a mountain in front of you. Speak to that mountain. Don't let the mountain bully you. You bully the mountain. And just believe in the Lord. Believe Him to work things out. Trust in Him. Don't move from your trust. Become fully persuaded. You know, and rely on the Holy Spirit. And all these other keys. This is important. This is Christian living. Christian living means you live by these principles. Amen? They're not just good things. They're principles, they're practical, and they're powerful. But whether or not you implement them is up to you. I can't do them for you. I can say, here's the water. It tastes good. Drink. But I can't take your head and say, drink, I said, drink. Father, we just give you thanks and praise that you have given us. Say this with me. Say, Father, you've given me keys of the kingdom of heaven. I will use these keys to the best of my ability with the power of the Holy Spirit and by your grace, and I will do great things for you. Nothing is impossible to me. Because I've got the right key. I've got the key to victory. I've got the key to freedom. I've got the key to blessing. I've got the key to plenty. Nothing is impossible to me. Because I'm free to use these keys. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, it's okay to get excited. I don't know about you, I get excited about the word. This is things that you can use. God just says here, I'm going to use you as an example, Elliot, so just catch it. He said, here's the keys of the kingdom, go and have a good time. Amen? Hallelujah. Amen. God bless you guys. If you can come on Friday, 6:30 to 7:30, we're just going to come together and pray. And it'll be a great time. Church on Sunday at 10. And good things are happening. God bless you. Oh, October 2nd, we're going to be at the Boscov's Mall in Lebanon.